Hey, Leading Learning listener, if you represent a membership organization looking for ways to expand your online course catalog rapidly with high-quality content, we have good news.
At leadinglearning.com/AMA, you can find out how to make online training from the American Management Association available to your learners.
Through a partnership between AMA and Tagoras, the parent company of Leading Learning, you can give your learners access to more than 70 e-learning modules covering essential business topics ranging from leading and innovating to managing projects effectively to working in hybrid teams.
For details on how to grow your catalog with courses from a true global leader in management training, visit leadinglearning.com/AMA.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 76 of the Leading Learning Podcast. This time around, Jeff and I are going to turn the lens onto podcasting itself to discuss why we feel it is an important channel for learning and education businesses to leverage and how to get started. We've talked about podcasting to a certain extent before, but we felt like it was time to revisit the topic given the recent release of the latest Edison research data on podcasting. Before we turn to a discussion of podcasting, though, we want to take a moment to thank Your Membership, the podcast sponsor for the first quarter of 2017. Your Membership's learning management system is specifically designed for professional education with a highly flexible and intuitive system that customizes the learning experience. Your Membership's LMS seamlessly integrates with key systems to manage all of your educational content formats in one central location, while providing powerful tools to create and deliver assessments, evaluations, and learning communities. You can find out more about Your Membership at yourmembership.com. We also want to note that recordings from our recent Learning Technology Design virtual conference are available through the end of May, and you can purchase access through May 15th. We created Learning Technology Design, or LTD for short, specifically for professionals in the business of continuing education and professional development, and you can get access to all the great content delivered at the live online event. Find out more at ltd.leadinglearning.com.
And finally, our resource for this episode is related directly to the topic of podcasting. We're all about podcasting in this episode. We want to direct you to one of the more comprehensive podcasting how-to resources out there right now. This is a page put together by John Lee Dumas at Entrepreneur on Fire. And John publishes an interview with an entrepreneur every single day, 7 days a week, and he's been doing it for years. So suffice to say, he knows a thing or two about podcasting, and you can get his free ultimate guide to podcasting by going to leadinglearning.com/fire. That's fire as in entrepreneur on fire. And we'll also put that link in the show notes to this episode at leadinglearning.com/episode76. Now, as you mentioned, Salisa, one catalyst for us deciding to talk about podcasting in this episode is the recent release of the new edition of the Infinite Dial report from Edison Research.
Yes, and that report, that's one that they've been doing for a number of years. It dates back to 1998, it looks at trends in digital audio and video and social media, and it uses really kind of the gold standard for research methods. And maybe you want to talk about that a little bit, Jeff.
Yeah, so I mean, they contacted a total of 2,000 people to interview them to, you know, explore Americans' use of digital platforms and new media. These were telephone interviews that were conducted with respondents from age 12 and older, and they were selected by random digit dial or RDD sampling. And the interviews were 51% landline phones and 49% mobile phones. So, you know, basically this is, you know, very buttoned up research. You know, they've really got some solid insights into how digital media are being used and how podcasting is being used.
Well, and so let's talk specifically about the podcasting data, because that's what interests us in particular. And I think the major news here is that podcasting continues to grow. And at this point, 40% of Americans 12 and older say they've listened to a podcast at some point in their lives. And 24%, which means an estimated 67 million people, say they have listened to a podcast in the past month. And that represents an upward tick from 21% a year ago. So it's growing. You know, if you have a quarter of Americans 12 and older saying they've listened to a podcast in the past month.
Yeah, and it's been growing steadily. I mean, we're not seeing like huge spikes or anything, but 10 to 20% growth, you know, year over year. And Jay Barrett, Convince and Convert, has published a nice analysis of some of the key numbers in the Edison report, and we'll link to that in the show notes. What we like about his post is he offers some interesting contextual perspective on all of this. So, you know, as he puts it, he references that, you know, 24% number, nearly quarter of Americans age 12 or older. And he says, you know, for context, 21% of Americans are Catholic. Thus, podcast listening is more common than Catholicism in the United States. So sort of an interesting point of reference there. Jay also notes that 42 million people listen to podcasts weekly, and that's five times more than go to the movies.
And so, you know, as we might expect, how people consume podcasts, that's happening usually on smartphones, tablets, and other portable devices. 65% of those listening to podcasts make use of those portable devices. But the Edison data also makes it clear that most people are actually listening to podcasts at home in spite of listening on these mobile devices. And I find that very interesting. I think one thing, and I think Jay actually makes the same point. For me, it's interesting, too, because I don't tend to listen at home.
Yeah, me either, yeah.
And so it's very fascinating there. But so, yeah, we have these mobile devices where the majority of people listening to podcasts at home.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to listen in the car or, you know, while I'm walking, while I'm exercising. And a lot of people do, in fact, do that. But still, you know, most of them are listening at home. Another somewhat surprising statistic that came out of the report, though it's certainly encouraging, is that 85% of listeners listen to all or most of the podcast episodes that they tune into. So they're sticking around for the full content or at least most of it, you know, and that's certainly very heartening to us as people who are putting that kind of content out there.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the points that Jay makes as well is that in terms of podcasting as potential for marketing, which I think is something we want to talk about a little bit more later, that kind of stick-with-it-ness, the stickiness, you know, listening to all or most of it, that's especially heartening in that context of being able to really convey a message effectively.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in this age, you know, when there's a lot of gnashing of teeth about getting people's attention and keeping attention, I mean, this may in some ways be a magic bullet for that. And that's probably a good, you know, point to segue into why all of this is so important. I mean, why we're putting the time into talking about this Edison report and do another podcast about podcasting. And, we feel there are very good reasons why podcasting has had so much growth and is likely to continue to have significant growth.
Well, and one reason that podcasting seems to be so popular, we believe, is just that they're relatively easy to produce. It doesn't take a lot of equipment or a lot of specialized know-how to be able to put together a podcast. So that certainly allows sort of a low barrier of entry for anyone wanting to come in and produce a podcast.
That's right. And, you know, you can't see us right now, but we're just sitting in our little office in Carrboro, North Carolina, with a couple of microphones in front of us. But, you know, by the time we produce this, we have the ability to, you know, reach millions of people with it. Another aspect is that consumers, you know, the people who are going to listen to podcasts can really find, you know, personalized content, and then they can listen to it, you know, while they're doing other things. And, you know, we said most people are listening at home. That's what Edison is telling us. In many ways, whether you're at home or whether you're in the car, whether you're walking, working out, whatever the case might be, it's sort of the perfect multitasking accompaniment. You know, people will tune on, turn on their favorite podcast and listen to that, while they're doing another mindless sort of task as they're consuming that content.
Well, I thought that was a good point to make because, you know, multitasking can be dangerous, but I think
right.
The nice thing about podcasting is that it can be kind of coupled with things like a walk that don't necessarily require kind of the same portions of your brain, and you really can actually multitask in that sense.
There. Yeah, and that can actually be very effective for learning to be able to walk and reflect, you know, while you're listening to something. So again, you know, there's hidden power here in podcasting.
I think another reason we're seeing growth is that getting the podcast content is really easy. At this point, almost everyone has a mobile phone, and that's really typically all you need to listen to a podcast. There are a variety of apps like Stitcher and Instacast and Overcast that make it easy to find podcasts, to subscribe to them, to get automatic updates. So, you know, in that sense, it's really very easy. It's still maybe not as easy as it probably could be, but once you have subscribed to something on your smartphone, listening on a regular basis is really no more difficult than listening to Pandora or Spotify or some of the other apps that people make use of.
Right, again, and it goes back to that, you know, personalized content and people being able to tune into what they want to be able to tune into, just like they're doing with, you know, something like a Spotify. And the quality of the content and the options has really been, you know, steadily rising. I mean, we've seen some big names get into podcasting. I think we talked about the Serial effect in our last episode, where we focused on podcasting, which was sort of the first big breakthrough podcast. And that was, you know, that's a pretty highly produced show. You have, you know, major selling authors like, you know, Malcolm Gladwell, who have now, you know, introduced podcast is becoming a very common thing for particularly best-selling authors to get involved with podcasting. But in general, you know, when you go out and look, if you're interested in a particular topic or even just, you know, in broad, you know, sort of social issues and things like that, you're going to be able to find a good quality podcast on just about anything at this point.
And so those are the reasons we think that we see this growth. You know, the podcasts are relatively easy to produce. Consumers can find really highly relevant content to them and subscribe to it and be delivered it. And the quality of what's out there has been rising. But let's talk a little bit too about the kind of opportunities that podcasting opens up. And I'll offer a first thought, which ties back to the point we already mentioned, that it allows you to reach people in places where you might not typically reach them. So it's potentially very powerful as a new distribution channel. You know, if maybe you're only getting people's mind share when they're in the office, you know, currently, well, with a podcast, as we're saying, if you're getting them to listen when they're at home or exercising, you know, that gives you a new channel, a new opportunity to connect.
And as we already mentioned, you know, the Edison research is showing that people are actually listening to it. You know, they're going through the vast majority of the content that they are consuming. Another opportunity that's out there, and, you know, this is one that may not be quite as obvious, but is certainly important to our audience, is that podcasts can really offer a new way to work with and to offer value to and to get value from your subject matter experts. I mean, most of our listeners are going to be people who are, you know, running meetings, producing different types of educational content. They're often working with subject matter experts. This, again, it offers a new channel, a new way to engage with those people, to do those expert interviews, or even, you know, to get to one of your volunteers, if you're in a trade or professional association, potentially to spearhead the whole podcasting effort. But in general, you know, to tap into the value of the knowledge that you have out there in their networks and in your networks and deliver them through this new medium.
And then another opportunity is that we think podcasts are a really great medium for blending education and marketing. And we touched on marketing a little bit earlier, but, you know, we believe that the best podcasts are really both entertaining and educational. And so they can be very effective as a means of informing people about specific educational offerings, for example. And we've used the Leading Learning Podcast to promote our fall symposium and our spring learning technology design event, just as examples of us walking that walk.
No, and I can, you know, clearly remember being at our face-to-face, place-based learning technology design event last year, and somebody walked up to me and said, you know, I'm here because of the podcast. You know, I'm an avid listener, so that was very gratifying to hear and to know that it is actually working in that context. Now, you know, we're not going to get too technical here about how you actually put together a podcast, but we did promise at the beginning we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how to get started, and obviously a significant part of that is knowing how to put it together technically and get a podcast out there into the world. So we thought we'd at least mention some of the key technologies that we're using here for the Leading Learning Podcast, and then also some of the alternatives that you may want to consider to what we're doing. You know, one of the key things to have if you are going to start a podcast is to get some decent microphones. You know, don't just hook up your Apple earbuds or, you know, whatever you might typically use when you're talking on your cell phone. We use Audio-Technica ATR 2100 microphones. That sounds very sophisticated and expensive, but they're actually, you know, roughly $60 to $70 a piece. Very good quality microphone that can hook in through your USB drives. You can hook two mics into a computer, which is what we do as we're broadcasting right now, or if you just need one mic when you're doing an interview, you can just hook that in through your USB drive. And I'll say we'll link to where you can find an Audio-Technica ATR2100 microphone. As you might guess, you can get that at Amazon. And we have these attached to simple boom arms so that the mics are steady and aren't going to be bumped around. We have some simple windscreens on them, which is something you'll see pop up as an add-on option just about any time that you're buying a microphone. And that's going to prevent, if I'm saying P, it's going to not pop as much if you've got that windscreen on there. So those are what we're using for microphones. And you'll see those widely recommended. I believe John Lee Dumas actually recommends the ATR2100s in his post as well. And then, for interviews, right now, Salisa and I are talking to each other, but we very often do interviews on the Leading Learning Podcast. And we use an application on our Mac called Ecamm Call Recorder. And that allows us to call somebody on Skype, either using Skype or Skype to phone, and then be able to record that conversation with them very, very easily. That's Ecamm Call Recorder for a Mac. But on a PC, you would use CallBurner or Pamela. Those are two options for PC users. Again, we'll link to all of this. Once we get those files, we're Mac users, so we've got GarageBand on our Macs, and we just edit in GarageBand. You can also download the free Audacity software that allows you to edit, or if you want to go a little higher end, you can get Adobe Audition, which is going to give you some extra tools for editing. We haven't found the need for fancy editing. GarageBand has done just fine for us, and we'd certainly recommend it to Mac users. We actually host the Leading Learning Podcast on Libsyn. That's Libsyn, which is one of the more popular podcasting hosting services. You don't want to just throw this up on your regular website. You want to have a place that's going to be able to stream the audio very well and also give you some statistics around how many downloads you're getting. There are other options out there. SoundCloud is another very popular one. If you're a WordPress user, there's a service called Blueberry, which has got a weird spelling to it, but we'll link to that in the show notes. And all of those are going to be able to stream the audio and provide for the bandwidth that you need for good quality, and then also provide you with some statistics around what you're offering. And then finally, we submit the Leading Learning Podcast to iTunes. Many of you are probably who are listening or probably subscribed through iTunes. There are other directories you can submit to, like Stitcher. We've also submitted to Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play. You're going to want to get it out there, some places that people are actually able to access it. But that's just a very quick rundown of the techie side of our podcast. All of that stuff totals up, at most to, a few hundred dollars, and that's over the course of a year, including the month-to-month hosting costs. So, very affordable from a technology standpoint. But then, the technology, of course, is only one part of it. You then have to start putting in the time and doing the things that it takes to actually produce a good podcast.
So we thought we would offer a few tips and best practices that sort of move beyond the technology, the hardware, the equipment requirements that Jeff just covered. One tip is that before you really begin promoting your podcast, have several episodes up and available. I think that one key reason is we have this sort of the binge watching, the binge listening sort of culture out there now. So if you put good out there and people are interested and they want to listen to another, it's great for them to have another episode or two to listen to right away that will really solidify your value and importance in their minds. And so that'll help there be a little bit there once you do start promoting.
Definitely. And then, as you're putting together the content, it's important to be consistent. That's going to help people know that you're serious, that you're, trying to be as professional as possible with your podcast, and it's going to let them know what to expect. And, so in terms of consistency, the overall structure of the show, anybody who's been listening to Leading Learning knows that we have, sort of our standard intro music, and then, a segment at the beginning where we kind of tee things up. We'll talk about a resource, and then, we either go into a conversation like we're having right now or an interview, and then we have an outro piece at the end. And that's kind of the structure of Leading Learning. It's a pretty common structure, but we try to adhere to that week in and week out. And then, sort of the longer view is making sure that you do have content lined up, to sit down and put together an editorial calendar to arrange for those interviews that you want to be able to conduct, because you can't just call somebody up and say, hey, do a podcast interview this week. Most people that you're going to want to interview are going to be busy. So you need to plan that out in advance. And then we actually have an Excel sheet where we have it plotted out, you know, for the course of this year. And, you know, we try to fill that in as much as possible in advance. So we know what's coming and we're planning on, you know, who's going to be arranging for which interviews, and just know that we're going to have a good flow to the show during the course of the year.
And in addition to identifying who to interview and scheduling that out, there's just the work to be done to prepare for that interview. Our strong suggestion is not to just wing it, to really think in advance about the objectives that you have for the podcast, so that then you can figure out what questions to ask of the interviewee that really align with those objectives of the podcast. And potentially, as we do, you might have, you know, one or two or three questions that you tend to ask of everyone. You know, for us, because it is the Leading Learning Podcast, we do always ask an interviewee how she or he goes about maintaining their knowledge and skills, how they approach their own lifelong learning. So you might have some of those kind of repeated and consistent questions throughout.
And then, you know, once you actually have managed to set your editorial calendar, get your interviews, record your episodes, we strongly recommend it just as a best practice, and you'll see the most serious podcasters do this, that you produce show notes for each episode. And every episode of the Leading Learning Podcast has text notes that go along with that episode, where we basically, you know, walk through what's covered in different parts of the podcast at a high level. We summarize. It's not a complete transcript. Some podcasts do like to do actual transcripts of all their podcasts. We think it's a little more useful to digest it down a little bit into notes. And then we make sure we include links to things that we've referenced. And that does a couple of things. You know, one, if you're listening and you don't know, you're not in a position to go and click on something, it gives you a way to go and find the things that we've talked about easily and be able to access them. And then it also helps a great deal from a search engine perspective. You know, if you're listed in iTunes and people are searching in iTunes, they'll find you there. But a lot of people are just searching out on the web for different things. They don't necessarily know about your podcast, and you want to have enough, you know, textual content to be able to attract them to your site and let them know that you do actually have this podcast and that it's valuable.
And then we also recommend that you ask for reviews. And if you've been listening to us for a while, you know that that's something we always ask for at the end of each episode. Getting reviews and ratings from actual listeners is very helpful in helping others find the show, because it helps it show up higher in the list of results that come back. And in addition to asking within the context of the podcast, it's also important to ask for reviews in other avenues as well. So, you know, via direct emails to people you know who are listening, or through social media, or just face-to-face exchanges. But really trying to get people to take the minute or two to do a review can be immensely helpful in building the sort of organic traffic for the podcast.
Definitely. And then, you know, lastly, you know, be sure to include mentions of the podcast in your ongoing communications with your audience more broadly. You know, it's easy to think, you know, we've recorded it, we've published it, it'll sort of take care of itself, but it really doesn't. I mean, you have to keep reminding people that it's there over time. This is something to invest in and build up. It can take quite a while to build a following, so you really have to stick with it. And so, you know, we mention this in emails, we mention this in newsletters, we even have little business cards for the Leading Learning Podcast that we'll hand out at events that we go to make sure that, you know, people that we think would value the podcast do know about it, and they have that, you know, material takeaway that's going to remind them when they get back to the audience.
And so that's been a look at some tips and suggestions. We thought we would also like to spend just a couple minutes here talking about some podcasts that we've started tuning into lately. We did this in our previous podcast episode around podcasting. We talked about some of our other favorite podcasts, but we thought we would introduce a few others.
That's right. And we will link to that previous episode so you can hear the podcast, our favorites that we listed during that episode. We won't rehash them here. I'll throw out a few that have been on my radar screen lately. One of them I haven't actually spent a lot of time with yet. I just noticed it recently and want to start spending some time with it. And this is actually from an association, so I wanted to be sure to highlight that. And this is the Professional Pricing Society, and they've recently launched the Pricing Podcast. I think they've actually had some podcasting going on for a while, but they got it into iTunes, and I think they're kind of upping their game a little bit around the podcast. So if you're interested in pricing, that's something to check out. And they're certainly using podcasting as a way to kind of spread the educational message. One that I have actually been tuning into and listening to, and I'm a bit of a marketing junkie. I listen to a lot of marketing type podcasts. This one is called Marketing School with Neil Patel and Eric Hsu. And it's a short one. I usually listen to longer form content, but these tend to be, you know, 5, 10, I think 15 minutes tops type episodes where they really focus in on a marketing tactic to be aware of. And Neil Patel, you know, has one of the most useful marketing blogs there is out there in terms of just tactical advice that you can take and put to work. So that's reflected in this podcast as well. And definitely worth tuning into if you want, you know, some tips to up your marketing game quickly.
Well, I have a couple that I'll mention too. And, you know, you were just talking about how Marketing School tends to be sort of a shorter format one. Kind World is one that actually came to my attention because it was recommended by Carol, a leading learning podcast listener. And she had listened to our first episode about podcasting and had started tuning into the poem of the day from the Poetry Foundation, because that was one that I had mentioned there. And then she was sharing back to say Kind World was one she recommended. And so that podcast tends to be relatively short, and they're stories about how people's lives have been changed by someone else. So they're stories of kindness, whether that's sort of a small or large. And so I wanted to mention that one. And then kind of on the other end of the spectrum, it's not exactly a new podcast for me. I've been listening to On Being with Krista Tippett for quite a while now, but I've recently started paying attention to the unedited versions that she also puts out, because what they do is she'll, you know, whatever show is for that weekend or that week, they will earlier release an unedited version. And so I've been starting to pay attention to the time differentials between the produced version and the actual interview. And if there's a big difference, you know, because like the produced versions are always roughly 50 minutes, you know, to allow for kind of an hour of programming along with commercials and things like that. But if the unedited one is an hour and 50 minutes, sometimes I'll opt to listen to that one, especially if it's around a topic or an interview with someone that I'm very interested in. So I thought that's a very interesting move on their part to kind of put out the unedited version. It's a, you know, an interesting sort of drawing back of the curtain. You know, we get to see the Wizard of Oz.
That is an interesting approach. That's a great podcast. And you're showing yourself as being a true podcasting geek at this point, if you're actually looking at the time differentials between the edited and the unedited versions and making your decisions based on that. We'll wrap up the kind of list of shows we've been tuning into lately or noticing in new ways lately with one called The Showrunner. And this is a podcast about podcasting from Copyblogger Media. And Copyblogger Media has gone big with podcasting. I mean, they have a whole network with multiple shows on it that, you know, come out week over week. I mean, they're putting a lot into podcasting, making a big bet there. And The Showrunner, you know, if you want to up your podcasting game, you know, get a continuous stream of tips and practices to follow for producing a good podcast, The Showrunner is definitely one to tune into. And with all of these, as usual, we will link to them in the show notes, so you don't have to remember everything we've just said here. But we hope we've sparked some interest in trying out some of these new podcasts.
So as we're exiting, we want to say thanks again to your membership for being the sponsor of this episode of the podcast. You can find out more about your membership at yourmembership.com. And we also want to mention again that Recordings from Learning Technology Design, or LTD for short, our virtual conference specifically for professionals in the business of continuing education and professional development, are now available. And you can get the details and sign up for those recordings at ltd.leadinglearning.com.
And we've mentioned show notes a number of times during this episode, including discussing, you know, why we do show notes. There are, of course, show notes available for this episode, and you can find those at leadinglearning.com/episode76. And as part of those notes, you'll find a link to access the Edison Infinite Dial report that we were discussing at the beginning of the episode. And you'll also find all of the other resources that we've mentioned throughout the episode, including links to the podcast that we thought listeners might be interested in. While you're doing all that, you'll see various options for subscribing to the podcast. And if you are getting value out of the podcast, we would be truly grateful if you would subscribe. All you have to do is just click on the iTunes links or other links that are on the show notes pages, and it'll get you, you know, right to the place you need to be to subscribe.
And we would also be grateful if you would take a minute to give us a rating on iTunes. This is the plug that we mentioned earlier that we always do at the end of each episode. So to give a rating, you can go to leadinglearning.com/iTunes. We really appreciate it, and it helps others find the podcast.
Finally, consider telling others about the podcast. You can send out a tweet simply by going to leadinglearning.com/share. And that pops up a box with some text in it that just says, you know, I'm getting value out of the Leading Learning podcast. And I mean, really all you got to do is click that share link and then click tweet, and it'll go out to the world. Or if tweeting isn't, you know, what you like to do, take that text and put it into Facebook or LinkedIn or some other social network of your choice. But please help spread the word.
Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.